as we take offering. Father, we just thank you for this day, for this gathering. As your word says, you give grace to the humble and you oppose the proud. And thank you for setting the perfect example of what a life of humility looks like in your Son as he humbled himself even to death on a cross. Give us the grace to live lives of humility. And we just praise your name and we thank you for your grace. Amen. Okay, well, today's reading comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Again, Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever."
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your provision. We may consider it an inconvenience having to hold our gathering down here in some ways, and yet we are blessed with space that we have alternatives, and so we're very grateful. And I thank you for the uniqueness of gathering in this physical space and the blessing that it brings to us. May we take full advantage of this time that we have together. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. What was not mentioned with Matt's announcement was, you know, the furnace was the two old gas boilers were taken out, and the old oil burner was taken out, which altogether saved us, you know, $2,400. Now, that might be slightly offset by the medical costs to those who helped remove those boilers. I was not part of it, but I do understand that there were several pieces, especially to the old oil burner is the one that's been here for quite a long time. And the sections of that thing were what?
How many? Probably 400 pounds.
And how many sections were there?
Eight.
Yeah, there were eight, like 400-pound sections. Those guys that Jonathan named earlier, or that Matt named earlier, Jonathan and John and Ed, Matt McElhaney, and I don't know if Matt Weaver helped. My dad's not here today, but anyone else, give them a big thank you and maybe a nice back rub today. We won't think it's weird if you do that during the service. It's okay. It's acceptable. Anyway, and please remember that as I'm talking, feel free to get up and refill and get some food. I truly mean that as we go here. Did someone just do that, or do you need a refill? I can refill for you.
No, look at the brownies.
Yeah, it's still we're hanging in there, a few left. Anyway, if you recognized the scripture from which Aaron read, you might be curious as to why he read that today. That's what we called, well, what some people call the Magnificat. It's Mary's song after she is told by Gabriel what's going to happen. And she says, you know, sure, I'll do that. I'll be the mom to the Messiah. And then she has this beautiful song that she, technically this is after she visits Elizabeth, but it's after this whole thing is announced. And she speaks this beautiful song. Now, we're not close to Christmas, so what is this doing here today? Well, if you didn't know, yesterday is in the Catholic Church and in other church traditions, in the church calendar, by tradition, is what is called the Feast of the Annunciation, Annunciation Day, that kind of thing. And it was 9 months from Christmas. So if anyone's counting down until Christmas already, you got 9 months to go. But you figure, baby takes 9 months to grow, right, hypothetically, in general terms. So the church dated backwards from Christmas Day, 9 months, and that is when they celebrate, that is when the church celebrates officially Mary being told by Gabriel, hey, your world's about to be turned upside down. So that was yesterday. I think it was also Bob's birthday, right? So Bob is 17. So it's a win-win yesterday. But anyhow, with that feast, being kind of the focus of this past week in the church calendar, I was taken again to this song, to this song of Mary, which is part of the week's reading, in the lectionary, if you know what that is, too, just a selection of scriptures tied with the church calendar. And I was reading her song and the story, and I was struck again by her humility, by Mary's incredible humility. And when the angel when the angel shows up and visits Mary, her response is quite remarkable. She has this song, right, where she says things like this, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. And then later on, God has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble, right? And and then earlier in the story, when she is told by Gabriel, her response at the end of all this, after he says your world is about to be turned upside down, she asks a basic question, so how's this going to work? Because I've never been with a man, so yeah, I'm curious. And Gabriel tells her, it's going to be miraculous, in other words. And Mary says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. In other words, I'm game. I'll do it. And her humility is just, it's amazing. Especially, she was probably a teenager, possibly like a young teenager, right, in that culture. So anyhow, I was spending some time thinking about Mary. And so with this being the series in Proverbs, we're leaping back, right? We're still in the Proverbs series. I was like, I don't know if we've really honed in on humility. So I decided that's what I would do. So I went to the book of Proverbs and started searching for Proverbs that have to do with humility. And long story short, I found two words, two Hebrew words, that we translate as humility in English, in the book of Proverbs. One of them is used a lot, because it just kind of means like lower than, so it's used in terms of humility and some other common usages throughout the Proverbs, and that word is used all over the place. I was like, let me look at the other word. I look at the other word in Hebrew, and it's used 4 times in the entire Old Testament. 3 of those times are in the book of Proverbs. Like, that's kind of neat. So I went to that word, and I found out later that it is the word that is the, if you can follow me on this, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. The Hebrew word for humility that we're going to look at today is the word that is translated into the Greek word that Mary used in her song. So it's a cool connection. It is the word that Mary was talking about, in fact. So, anyhow. This Hebrew word used 4 times in the entire Old Testament and 3 of them in Proverbs. So that's where we're going to go today when we turn to Proverbs. So you can turn to these Proverbs, or you can just write them down or listen along. But first, we're going to go through these 3 Proverbs. And you know the Proverbs are individually short and concise. So we're just going to read through these 3 Proverbs that have to do with this word humility. The first is in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, 33. And I want you to notice something as I read these Proverbs to you in order, okay? Proverbs 15, 33. This is what this one says. We're going to be listening for humility, but I'm also going to emphasize something else. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. The next proverb is in Proverbs 18, verse 12. If you care to go there or listen along, Proverbs 18, verse 12. And listen to what this one says. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. And the third place that this Hebrew word occurs in the Proverbs, Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Did anyone catch anything in there in those three Proverbs? What's that? It's linked with honor. And it's not just linked with honor. There is a progression. This word humility in Hebrew, this word in Hebrew that's translated to humility in English, four times in the Old Testament, three of them are in Proverbs, and in all three places in Proverbs, it goes like this. Humility first, then honor. Humility precedes honor. Humility must come before there is any honor. It's kind of neat. Now that's special, right? That's kind of fun to think about. It's fun to recognize that. But the obvious question then becomes, well, what do these words mean? You know, if humility precedes honor, what are we talking about? So, did some research on these words, and I'm just going to give you what I found, okay? Humility, okay, in these three Proverbs, humility. The definition of this word, is as we might understand it, is to be lowly in mind. It's to be modest. It is related to the Hebrew word for people who are afflicted or meek. Okay? But it means to be lowly in mind, to be modest. Basically, people who don't make much of themselves. Now, I'm not talking about beating up on yourself, right? I'm not talking about like the whole, you know, like the woe is me, I am worthless, I can do nothing. I'm a waste of air and space. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is humility. It is to not esteem oneself as greater than you are. In fact, maybe it's to put yourself lower than you really are. If you were in Sunday school, you're seeing some connections here. I didn't plan this, but with the Christ hymn, what Christ did, right? Make yourself low. Wow, talk about humility. Now, honor, the result, if you will, of humility. This word for honor has to do with, let me say this first, not riches or money or wealth or even political power. It does not have to do with those things. What it has to do with is dignity, a reputation, a good one at that, and being precious. It's related to the Old Testament word for the glory of God. The root word for this word, honor, is the word that is used all throughout Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And whenever they talk about God's glory in the tabernacle, that's the word they're talking about. It literally means heavy. Something that has weight to it. Like 400-pound sections of a boy. But it means heavy. It's people, right? Honor is when you have significance or reputation. It's to be known by others. And it's not, I want you to think about this. It's not to be known like, oh, they're famous, but it's to be known as in like You are known by a community. Like people, you have significance. You have a place in this world, right? That kind of thing. Now I think of Michael W. Smith's old song, My Place in This World, which I'm not going to sing for you. But anyhow, it's to have, when we when we consider this humility connection to honor, it's people who don't take that place that is rightfully theirs, but they don't like take it and claim it and say, this is mine. But they take a posture of humility. And in the end, God gives them their place. But it's not done on their own strength, right? And this is very much, again, connected with Sunday school. If you were in there, I'm excited about this. Okay? So, the key that we see in these verses from Proverbs is that honor comes after humility. So again, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. All right? So, now, I think we'll probably be done a little bit early today, hopefully, and we can just fellowship a little bit, and maybe let the kids finish up and then go get them. But I'm not done yet. Just don't start. unless you're going to get coffee or some food, which you're free to do. I was thinking about this. I was like, this is pretty cool. You know, humility, this connection to Mary, and then humility leading to honor. And then I thought, my goodness, what better illustration than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Gabriel comes and says, your life is going to be turned upside down. And she's like, that's okay. I am God's servant. I am his bondslave. I belong to him. I know my place. And then she sings this song and she says, God has regarded my humble estate, right? and she says that God exalts the humble. So here's Mary, right? Who takes the path of humility in the face of this calling, okay? Takes the path of humility and does not make much of herself, does not assert herself or her arrogance or her own desires, and and yet, talk about a reputation. Talk about God giving someone honor, giving someone a place and significance. Here we are, 2,000 years later, and who are we talking about? Mary, the mother of God, the mother of Jesus. It's just kind of amazing. And not only are we still talking about her, but you could argue that she is like the second most important character in the Bible. Now, I mean, you could have some debate about that, but there is a reason, right? There is a reason that in other traditions of Christianity, you think of Catholicism, there is a reason that there is such a reverence for Mary because of her role and because of her the posture of her heart and her attitude and her life in taking on her burden. And we're still talking about her 2,000 years later. And I also want to point out this. Mary took the path of humility, and God gave her a place of honor. But remember what I said the word honor was related to, the word for heaviness. The honor that Mary received as the mother of Christ was not light. It was a burden. And you can, you know, we've talked a lot about this before, but you know, I'm reminded again of what Simeon said to her in the temple. And he said, this child's going to put a sword through your heart. Like this isn't, you've chosen the right thing. You've chosen well, Mary, but you do know this is not an easy choice. And you did not choose the, the quote unquote easy road, right? So. So what does all this mean for us? Well, we have the great example of Mary. We also have the incredible example of Jesus Christ from Sunday school. I pointed at Mike like he's Jesus Christ. Yeah, he reminds me of him. You guys are like, wow, I didn't know he was here today. but I pointed at Mike because he was in Sunday school and kind of making that connection with Philippians. And in Philippians, right, and I'm going to go to this. I want to just tie this in for those of you that were not in Sunday school, just so you know what we're talking about, because it's a great example of this whole humility coming before honor. Listen to what Paul writes. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is perhaps the best example of this. He humbled himself, and then he was honored. But I want you to notice something here with the Christ hymn, with the Messiah hymn, this Messiah poem. Jesus had nothing to do with his honoring. Jesus did not, according to what Paul writes here, Jesus did not come out of the tomb and be like, "I told you so, I told you so, like I am the man and I am the God." Right? Like he came out of the tomb. And what we're told by Paul is that, you notice the action changes. In the first part of the hymn, as Jesus is humbling himself, it's Jesus taking the action. Right? He emptied himself. He did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus became a bondservant, right? He humbled himself. He became obedient, Jesus did. And what's on the second part when it's like this upswing? God, the Father, takes the wheel. And what does God the Father do? God highly exalted him. God gave him the name above every name. When we humble ourselves, the key thing here is that we don't take control of the honoring. That's in God's hands. And that's kind of the freedom of humility, is that we don't have to worry about the result, because we trust in God's sovereignty and in his goodness and his justice to handle these things. As we see with Mary, as we see with Jesus. And again, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? That's not what I'm telling you. If you think I'm preaching like, humble yourself and your life's going to be good and all roses and just easy times. No, that's not what I'm saying. But when we humble ourselves, God, God will take care of the honoring. He will take care of what needs to be done. I want to read a quick story. Just kind of another fun illustration here, okay? Of a real-life example, a historical example, something closer to our cultural experience of a person who chose the path of humility, okay? So, listen to this story. And this will be almost where we wrap up. All right. A black man was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy woman in the town of Tuskegee, Alabama. Not knowing the man by sight, this woman asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, the man just smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore as she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the lady's house, stacked them by the fireplace. He left. And a little while later, a little girl in the house had recognized him, and a little while later, she revealed his identity to her mother. This is supposedly a true story. The next morning, the embarrassed, wealthy white woman went to see Mr. Booker T. Washington, okay, the renowned black educator, the outstanding example of humility, right? The president of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. She went to his office and apologized profusely. And apparently he said, "It's perfectly all right, madam." He said, "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always easy to delight to do something. It's always easy. It's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long after this, she got together a bunch of her friends, and they donated thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. Booker T. Washington, a famous leader in the African-American culture from late 1800s, early 1900s. But what a cool example, right? I mean, do you realize who I am? Right? You're asking me to chop wood? Like, do you realize how insulting that is on so many levels? And what does he do? He took an incredible road of humility, and in the end, it benefited the greater good of what he was trying to do, the movement that he was leading, right, to train up young African Americans to take their proper place in our culture. What a cool story there from Booker T. Washington, from his life. The last thing I would say, and Aaron, you can come on up here as I say this, is that this is very countercultural. And I don't need to belabor this point, but to be humble, to not assert our rights, and to not, the thing about the Christ hymn was, Paul points out, Jesus was God. Although he existed in the form of God, okay, Paul establishes, he was God. He did not consider it something to be grasped. He was willing to be humble. So may we do the same, even though it might be countercultural. Countercultural. So, all right?
Okay. Well, in considering humility, I immediately thought of King David, known as a man after God's own heart. And to me, it was really because when confronted by his sin, he was genuinely broken. And he reflected that lowly spirit and a contrite heart. And he always reflected that in his response. And you see that through the book of Psalms, especially as he's crying out for God's provision in the light of the struggles he's facing and in the light of his own sin. So I think we're all confronted by it in our own lives. And it's up to us, really. What's our response going to be? To harden our hearts before God, or to really seek his grace and live like David lived. And he was a king, you know. So it's pretty powerful. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Amen.
Please stand. You guys know I have this running list of underrated Bible characters in my head. So it was actually yesterday I pulled out my phone and I was like, I'm going to start making a list because I talk about this. I actually need to start doing it. So I put down a few names and I was in my phone and I was going through the notes and I saw this random note that I didn't remember. So I scrolled down and tapped on it and I think this was John Hobbs at CFO last June, and it was this quote, and this was his quote. He said, "My posture now will precede my portion later." My posture now will precede my portion later. And that goes exactly, it goes right along with what we were talking about today, that the posture of our hearts today will determine our portion later, right? And there's the great irony that we don't seize it for ourselves. We trust God with open hands. I'm going to also read from Psalms. Psalm 128 is our benediction. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Go in peace. Yeah.